podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
Truth in this one passage alone, which is why it can't be one sermon. It's like a whole series. But just to recap on what we talked about last week, obviously we're all living clay, being shaped in the hands of the potter. Not a single person that's accepted Jesus is not got a destiny on the potter's wheel. You all have a destiny with the potter's wheel, whether you like it or not. We talked last week about the fact that our destiny isn't just about where we are going, it's about who we are becoming. And the next thing I've learned comes out of the new you. There's something that God does in the kingdom when he wants to release something new in your life. It comes out of a new revelation of who you are, the uniqueness of who you are. We learned that Jesus promised to make us if we follow him. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't just say, come follow me and I'll give you. He said, come follow me and I'll make you. I'll make something of your life. There's a reciprocal thing there that God does when we choose to follow him. My favorite part of the whole verse, which I talked about last week, we learned that God doesn't discard the marred clay. That even though the clay is marred and flawed like we are, he doesn't discard that. He just keeps working. And he just keeps reforming and he keeps reshaping. That God doesn't discard humanity. He just keeps at work in our lives. And I found that so encouraging, that alone. We also learned that we can trust the potter's hands because not only is he a potter, he's a father. And Isaiah says that he's our heavenly father. And that sometimes when we're on the wheel of life and we're being slammed and spun and all that going on, we have to remember that behind all of that is a loving father whose hands are shaping us and guiding us. Yeah? So that was last week. And today I want to look at this verse from a different angle, perhaps, because I think when I studied this and when I looked at this and read this, I think one of the dangers, if I can be honest with you, with interpreting this analogy or this metaphor between the potter and the clay, because there's not a person in this room that doesn't have an understanding that you are not the potter, right? We're the clay. He's the potter, we're the clay. There's some of you just getting that for the first time, that you're not in control. Well, anyway, some of you need to figure that out because I have taken a long time to figure out that I'm not actually in control of my own life. But one of the dangers of interpreting this passage is to throw everything into the God is sovereign basket. In other words, if God's the potter and I'm the clay and he's shaping me, that he's going to do it all and he's going to put me on the wheel. I'm just going to become all that God wanted me to be anyway. So what's my role? And everything gets thrown into the sovereignty of God basket. If God is sovereign, then we can just do whatever we want and ultimately we're going to become the shape that God has formed us into because he's God and he's the potter. The problem with that thinking is that it's just not biblically accurate. It's not accurate at all. Just because God is sovereign does not mean that everything that happens in this world is God's will. God is sovereign. He has all power and authority, but everything that we see in the world around us is not all of his will. It is not God's will for people to suffer and for abuse and for starvation and hunger. Now that I could go on a real tangent in that around that thought, but just because God is sovereign does not mean God, everything in this world is his will. And so the reason for that is because he created you and I with a free will. A free will. And one thing that God will never violate in your life or in anybody's life is free will. It's just something he won't do. In fact, I wrote this down last night. The sovereignty of God involves God's self-limitation in order that his creation might choose the freedom that's found in him. He doesn't want robots. God is not a controller. He is not manipulative. He doesn't force people to follow him. And that's why even as a church, we work very hard at ensuring that we have no control, no manipulation, that it's an atmosphere and a culture of freedom. The same it is with God. You don't have to follow Jesus. You actually don't have to love him. It's a good thing to do. And there's freedom in him. But true freedom is only when you freely choose. I think that's important to realize. He doesn't force people to love them. And so the reason I tell you all that today, without getting into a big theological lesson, I say all this in the context of this metaphor between the potter and the clay, because the sovereignty of the potter, if you're writing notes, the sovereignty of the potter does not negate the responsibility of the clay. The sovereignty of the potter does not negate the responsibility of the clay. The clay has responsibility in the hands of the potter. You might think, How can it? It's just dust. But I said last week, the dust mixed with living water is living clay. You and I are not just dust. We're spirit-breathed dust. We have a will. We are living beings created in the image of God. In other words, you have the choice. You have the choice this morning to cooperate with God or resist God. You have the choice to choose Him or reject Him. That's your choice. And so you and I have this responsibility as living clay to ensure that we remain shapeable, that we allow God to keep forming us, which is what I want to look at this morning. And so I want to take the rest of my time this morning to look at what is actually our responsibility as living clay in the hands of the potter. Because you're going to discover that it's not all just, hey, the potter's going to do it and I just do whatever I want and I'll just become what God wants me to be. No, you actually have some responsibility as living clay to become all that God wants you to be. In fact, what was cool about this is some of these points are based on what potters and what ceramic makers and actual pottery makers say is vital about working with the clay. Now, is anyone a ceramic person or a pottery maker or an art person? I flunked badly at school. I could barely even write. So there's no one here good. So you can't fact check me on anything. You'll have to Google me later on. But some people are just so gifted and creative and artistic. I never got that gene, unfortunately. I'm trying to figure out where I'm creative. Certainly not in the arts, that's for sure. But my first thought is this. The first responsibility that you and I have as living clay is this, is we have to stay tender. Stay tender. You have to stay soft. How many of you know that the potter has to work with soft clay? If you go and research pottery making, the potter never starts with a dried out lump of clay. It's always a moist, tender, soft clump of clay. Every potter knows that the soft clay is vital. And this might sound basic to you, but listen, this point alone is enough challenge for us to really lean in this morning. Because how many of you know that the way that God is able to shape you is to stay soft and tender before God? To choose to remain soft, to be tender-hearted, or a tender heart that's been softened by grace. It's allowed God to just do something, just to soften us and change us. You have to stay tender and soft because life will harden you. Life has a hardening effect, let me tell you. You know how it says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, you've would have read this scripture a million times, it says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything, every issue of life is a heart issue. Every relational issue, every trust issue is actually a heart issue. So he says, Solomon says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now that word guard is the Hebrew word natsah. Now it's not just as in guard, as in protect, although that's part of the meaning of it. The Hebrew word natsah more accurately means watch over your heart. Watch over the condition of your heart, like a farmer tending soil. Watch over the condition of your heart. Tend it, plow it. Keep real close check on your heart. That's what he's trying to say there. Now, we know from the parable of the soil, I call it the parable of the soil, but the parable of the sower, we know that the Bible talks about different heart conditions, that the seed of God's word can't penetrate a hard heart. People that are resisting God, often it's to do with hardness, and I'm going to get to that a little bit more. But we have to be intentional about softness because hardness is automatic. Hardness is automatic. You don't actually have to try hard to get hard. That was really corny. But hardness is automatic. Live long enough in this life and you'll get a hard heart. Watch the news enough, experience enough betrayals, experience enough rejections, experience enough disappointments. Hardness will set in very, very easy. It's a normal and natural response to life. Do you know that? Hardness is. Hardness of heart is built up. Here's what hardness of heart comes. It's a protection mechanism. And it builds up to guard against disappointment, pain, and all of the things that happen to us, whether it might have been a church hurt, a relational issue, a marriage breakdown, some sort of painful experience in life, and hardness of heart builds up because hardness comes in to say, I am not letting you get in there again, and I'm going to build up a hard heart. The problem with that is the harder your heart gets, the harder it is for the potter to shape you. And to mold you and to shape you and to form you and change you. So I want to give you a very practical skill. Is that okay? On how to keep a soft, tender heart. Because you're like going, that's awesome. Well, I think one of the best ways to keep a soft heart is to learn the art of developing a thick skin and a soft heart. A thick skin and a soft heart. Do you know, for a lot of us, and this has been me, a lot of us have got it the other way around. We have a thin skin or soft skin and a thick heart. Let me give you the difference. People with soft skin and thick hearts have porous skin. It's soft and porous. In other words, everything just seeps through. Everything just goes through right to their heart. Some people are so sensitive, so easily offended. Everything you say, I'm offended. Have you noticed we are living in a culture today where it's perpetual offense? You can't say anything with someone taking offense. Everything just comes through. I'm so offended, so sensitive, or so hurt. And that's thin skin. The problem with that is if you have a porous skin, everything's going to come into your heart and eventually hardness of heart is going to build up. You're going to become internally hardened because you're going to protect yourself from all that's coming against you. But people with a thick skin and soft hearts have strong external boundaries. They're able to say no to toxic people. They're able to say, no, you're not good for me. I can't be in a relationship with you now. I'm not going to let what you say just come in. They've got thick skins and it guards their heart. They don't allow, they hear criticism and harshness, but they don't allow it to penetrate. That's a really important skill. I've had to learn that as a pastor and leader to make sure I keep a thick skin and a soft heart. People with thick skin and soft hearts forgive quickly. They forgive quickly and they listen to God's voice in every situation. There's something about every unfair situation you and I go through, every difficult situation, it's like, God, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now in this moment? I'm going to take my focus off the person who hurt me, off the person I'm offended with. Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me in the middle of it? I guarantee you, He'll always speak to you because he wants your heart to stay soft. Is this okay, church? And so people with a thick skin and soft heart, they experience disappointments. It's not that they don't experience disappointments and setbacks, but they don't allow it to become a heart condition. There's a very big difference. And the thicker our skin, the softer our heart can be. It's really important. If you think about Jesus, He had thick skin and a soft heart. He did. He had thick enough skin to walk into an undeserved crucifixion and have insults hurled at Him and a soft heart to be on that cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's incredible. I don't know if we'll ever be the level Jesus was, but certainly is the principle and a model. How many of you know that God does want you to be impenetrable, but He also wants you to have a heart that breaks for what breaks His? So you have to be very careful. Even being in church for a long time, hardness can build up. Because you see hypocrisy, you see stuff, and it's like, God, and hardness is a built-up mechanism, and I want you to stay tender, stay soft, so God can keep shaping you and molding you. Now, tenderness, as you know, or clay has high water content. Tenderness requires moisture, right? How many of you know that the way you keep your heart soft is yes, that, but to continue to allow the living water of God's presence to continually soak into you? It's like, God, every day, hardness is going to build up. I just pour into me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I'm open to you, Lord. And the more we expose ourselves to living water, the more we stay soft, the more we stay tender. I don't know if you've noticed when the potter puts the clay, it's cool to watch the videos. There's one I watched this week with an Indian potter. He was working with the most archaic materials, but he was just doing it. But I noticed when he got the clay, he put the clay on the wheel and it's spinning. Then he gets water and he's pouring the water on the clay. And as the water gets poured on the clay, he's shaping and moving it. And it's such a beautiful picture for when the Holy Spirit keeps pouring into our lives and the water of God's word, and we keep open to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying to us and what He wants to do to us, we just begin to shape and take hold and become all that God wants us to be. And this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of this message to be filled with living water. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to fill this place and fill your heart again so that God can shape you. Is this helping you? I'm only at the end of point one. My goodness. Stay centered. Number point two, stay centered. I love when Moya's the best person, because every point is like, oh boy, oh boy. So responsive. It's good. I always chuckle. Stay centered. When the potter gets the clay, where do they put the clay? They immediately put the clay on the spinning disc, but it must stay right in the center of the disc. Has to stay centered. If it moves too far to the left or to the right, no, I'm not getting political. It's not about moving to the left or the right politically, but if it moves too far to the left or to the right, the potter has to start all over again because they do this thing where they call it, it's called coning. It's where the potter gets its hands and they begin to take the shape. And if it has to stay right in the center, because so it stays circular, and there's a whole science behind that, but it must stay centered. And yes, that's about the importance of being centered in Jesus. We know that. But here's the thing about this. I think sometimes being centered is the easy part. I think sometimes staying is the harder thing. There are a lot of people who never lost their faith in Jesus, but they can't stay anywhere where God's called them to stay. They're always moving. It's about remaining on the potter's wheel, because the temptation can be, every time I don't like something or I'm offended by something, I'm out of here. I'm getting off this wheel. I don't want to be on this wheel anymore. And, you know, back when I first became a Christian, I found that going was the harder command for Christians. Going seemed to be the harder command, getting people to go and get out of their comfort zone. I find in 2019, staying is the harder command. Getting people to stay. Gen Y, which I am not, now on average change jobs like every 2 years. They're moving, always moving, always moving. Don't like that? I'm out of there. I see that in church world. I get offended, I'm out of there. That relationship, I'm out of there. And we move, and God says, I'm trying to shape you. I'm trying to mold you, and you keep getting off the potter's wheel every time it gets hard. And you know, when Amy and I felt the call to leave Newcastle and come to the Central Coast, it was hard. Clearly, it was very hard to leave family. But can I tell you, as I thought about this message, it was actually not as hard as it was in another season when we were there, when we were called to stay. The going was easier than staying. I went through a season, Amy and I, and Peter Thompson, you were there, so you get to hear the story. And some of you heard this story, but Amy and I went through a season in church for 2 years where all I can say, it was a wilderness season. Vision for the future wasn't happening. I felt like, I'm just going to be really real and honest with you, okay? I felt like I wasn't seen or valued by my leaders. My gift wasn't being used. I wasn't being recognized. I was overlooked for opportunities. I felt like and I had been in prominent leadership. I had been doing things. I didn't feel like my gifts and my talents were being used. And I became so discouraged. So like, God, what are you doing? And I came so close to quitting. So close. I began to wonder, well, perhaps this is just not the right church for me. Perhaps this is not the right place. I'm out of there. I'm going to go somewhere where I'm appreciated. I was a lot more immature back then, until I had a mentor that spoke some sense in my life and slapped me around the head a little bit and like, wake up to yourself. That's what good mentors should do every now and again, not literally slap you around the head. But every now and again, you need people to actually speak into your life and say, what are you doing? God is doing something in you here. And I have to tell you, we stayed. And I tell you now that that season of my life, God used that season amongst so many others, but that was one of the most pivotal seasons in my life where he shaped me. And he formed me. And if I had got off the potter's wheel in that season and quit because it got too hard, I would not be standing here today. I guarantee you. I would. And then all of a sudden the season changed, and it was God's hands the entire time. And I felt like the word of the Lord for some of you this morning is you have to remain on the potter's wheel. Stop trying to run from the place where God is shaping you and forming you. So much good comes from remaining. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15, 4-7. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It goes on and on and on to verse 8. 8 times Jesus uses the word remain. What's he trying to say in the Hebrew and Greek? Remain. Stay. There's a principle of just remaining. Sometimes all you need to do is just remain. Stay where God's got you until God tells you otherwise. You know, read through the Bible and see how many people of God had to remain in difficult places for them to be the people that God called them to be. Joseph had to remain in places he would have rather avoided. I'm pretty sure he didn't really want to remain in Potiphar's house or the prison. He didn't want to remain in those. Elisha had to remain in the service of Elijah for a season. David had to remain in Saul's palace for a season. Jesus had to remain in the wilderness for 40 days. And here's what you have to understand. The bigger the vessel, the longer it must remain on the wheel. So if you feel like you're in a season of life right now where there's no progress, maybe God is doing something bigger in your life than what you realize. The problem with remaining is it often feels like you're never making progress. It feels so stagnant. I know for me, I get so impatient in life. You know, I'm one of those guys, and don't judge me for this, but when I get to any queue, well, I used to, I'm getting better, I'm always looking for the shortest queue. Is anyone in the room, like, whenever there's a queue, I immediately scan what is going to get me through this line the quickest, particularly at airports, like on check-in or immigration. And I'm embarrassed to say this, but my friend and I, who used to, we travel quite a bit to the third world, and we used to have this thing, it wasn't spoken. It was an unspoken thing. We'd get off the plane as we'd go to immigration. We were both looking for the shortest immigration line. And we would stand in line and it would just be this look at each other. I'm going to get through before you do. And there was this little competition. And I've got to tell you, rarely was I the first through. Often the shortest line is not necessarily the quickest line, because in Sri Lanka, everything is slow. Nothing is fast. Isn't it, Inka? Nothing is fast in Sri Lanka. And yeah, nothing goes fast there. And I think sometimes we're like that. We're like, nah, this is not happening fast enough for me. I'm out of here. The progress that I'm looking for is not happening quick enough. So I'm out of there. But here's what you have to remember when you feel like remaining. When it feels like there's no progress, something is happening. Because while the clay remains, the wheels keep turning and the hands keep working. The hands keep working and the wheels keep turning. So God is working even when it feels like he's not working. But if you would just remain, God could keep shaping you. Amen. Third point, stay yielded. Stay yielded. Stay yielded. This is a challenging word for a lot of us. You can interchange that word with surrender. Stay surrendered. You know, the shaping of the clay really does depend on the yieldedness of the clay. The clay is going to change. It's going to be shaped. And the height of the vessel, the width of the vessel, the curvature of the vessel is all determined in the shaping season or the shaping period on the wheel. The shaping is dependent on the yieldedness. Let me put it this way. The more surrendered you are, the more you will become the shape God is wanting you to become. Have you ever wondered, this is not a statement of judgment, it's actually a statement of sadness, I think. Have you ever wondered why people have been following Jesus for many, many years, never seem to become all that God's called them to be? You see people and they're like, where are you now? And they've never taken the shape. Could it be one of the reasons is they've never truly yielded on the inside? A surrendered heart, a Holy Spirit, whatever you want. Do with me whatever you want. Yieldedness looks like Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, going, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will. Yours be done. That's yieldedness. That's surrender. Yieldedness looks like Adelaide Pollard. You ever heard of her? She wrote that famous hymn, Have Thine Way. These were the words. It was a prayer. It was turned into a hymn. Lord, have thine way. That's an amazing prayer to pray. The thing about the clay is that it has to change. It has to yield to the potter's touch. And you know, there are times in our lives, certainly for my life, where the potter is trying to touch something and change something. He's trying to get a bubble out. He's trying to get an imperfection out. He's trying to get a bit of grit out. He's trying to shape the potter, and we're resistant. It's not that we're resistant to God generally. It could just be one little area. The Holy Spirit, I know for me right now, he's got his hand on one part of my life and he's just doing something in my life. And I'm finding it hard and I'm finding there's this resistance because it's like, God, I don't want to look at this. I don't want to look at this. And you'll all have areas in your life where the potter is just trying to shape you and shift you. And the more you yield, the more you surrender to the process, the more you'll take the shape that God wants you to be. You know, you can be tender, you can be centered and yet not be yielded. I've met people who are soft-hearted, they're soft, they remain in places, but they never fully yield on the inside. One of my favorite scriptures, Ephesians 3:20, says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You know, God is able to do immeasurably more with our lives, but there's a caveat, there's a condition. It says, according to the power that works within you. That phrase within you means present tense. In other words, it's dependent on what you are allowing the Holy Spirit to do in you right now. And God's power works best in our surrender. Just a thought. Can you just bring that table up for me? You going okay, church? Or is this quite a contemplative message? Do you know, yieldedness, and the band can join me, the yieldedness accelerates the shaping. Did you know that? Yieldedness accelerates the shaping. In other words, the quicker you yield, the quicker you're going to become what God wants you to be. The quicker you just give up, the quicker you put the white flag up and say, Holy Spirit, all right, there's a time for questioning, there's a time for wrestling, there's a time for challenging, there is a time for all of that. But at some point you have to say, Holy Spirit, I'm surrendering to the one who knows. I'm giving up my right to know and to be in control and to understand. And right now I'm just surrendering and just have your way, Holy Spirit. If you do that, some seasons will move quicker than what you want them to be. Sorry, some seasons will go faster. Some people are in the wilderness for way too long than what they should be. Some people get caught in seasons for longer than what they should do. And if you would just yield, you would just yield, God could do what he wants to do in your life. All right. So I have three vessels this morning. No, I did not make any of these. This one's important. This is an espresso cup. You knew, church, that I was going to get a coffee cup. That they're all three types of pottery, three types of vessels, all different shapes. This size one, another coffee cup, sorry, just realized. Three different vessels. I'm taking this to Sri Lanka next week. This goes in my suitcase. Three vessels, right? But have you ever thought, stop to think in the context of what I just said, all three of these vessels were at some point tender, centered, and yielded. They didn't start like this. They were all tender, centered, and yielded. Tender, centered, and yielded. I wonder as you look at your life this morning and as you just examine yourself and you ask the Holy Spirit, I wonder what's missing for you right now. If anything, is it tenderness? Is it centeredness? Or is it yieldedness? They're now in the shape they were always meant to become, but they don't become the shape they were meant to become without being tender, centered, and yielded. Which leads me to my final point, and it won't be a long one. My final point is this: stay contented. Stay contented. You know, each of these vessels is different. Different sizes, different colors, different shapes, different formations, different purposes. And I think the temptation is for the vessel, for this vessel, to look at this vessel and be envious of the size of that vessel and to prefer the color of that vessel. But this vessel's looking at this vessel going, but you've got a handle and I don't have a handle and I like your color better. And you might think that is a ridiculous demonstration, but we do that. I'm saying the danger of comparison is that God wants you to be content as the vessel he's designed you to be. He wants you to be content as the vessel he's making you to be. I guarantee you, none of these vessels really, to me, are worth any more. That's the thing about clay, is to God, each vessel is not more valuable than another vessel. You know what's valuable? The contents, what God puts in it. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 4 that we have this treasure in jars of clay. It's the God factor in all of us. And I think the problem with comparison, if you're the vessel, you become less appreciative of the masterpiece that God has made you to be. You start undervaluing God's work in you. You know, you are God's masterpiece. You are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created to do good works. Every single person in this room, God does not create junk. You are not worthless because you made some mistakes, because you failed a few times, or because you were remade a few times, or because you got some cracks. I'm going to talk about cracks in a few weeks and broken pieces. That doesn't make you any less valuable to God. And it's not about the shape of the vessel. It's not about the size of the vessel. It's about what the vessel carries. And each vessel that God has created on this planet is designed to carry the living water of God. Whether you are this size, or this size, it does not matter. What matters is that you're willing to be used. You're willing for God to fill you, to pour into you. Filled up and used to pour out. Do you know, God doesn't just want ornamental vessels. that sit on the shelf and just look good. He's really not into that. I mean, pottery making in Bible times was mainly for functional use. They needed them to do things. God wants us to be vessels that are filled up with Him, carry the living water of God, and pour out on a lost and broken humanity. That's what we're created to be. That's why we have to cooperate in the process, church, because ultimately it's not about you. It's ultimately about what God wants to do through you. We need to be filled with living water. I just want you to close your eyes this morning. I'm done preaching. I hope this has been a good word for you. It's demonstrated something to you, illustrated something to you. I want you just to talk to the Holy Spirit for a minute. We're going to do two responses. The first response is for anyone sitting in this room who has never accepted the invitation to come onto the potter's wheel. In other words, you have not started a relationship with God. God won't force you. God wants to make something incredible of your life, wants to shape you into all that He purposed you to be. Before you were even born, He knew the shape you would form. But you have to say yes to God. See, we can say yes to the potter because 2,000 years ago, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be a sacrifice for our sin, and that He would deal with sin, that we all sinned. We have all sinned and fallen short. We're all marred clay. But when we say yes to God, when we receive God, when we ask for forgiveness for our sin and we receive Jesus' free grace, His gift of salvation, we start a relationship with God who begins to shape us and form us and mold us, and we become all that God created us to be. If that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand nice and high so I can see. Say, yeah, I want God to make something of my life. I need to start a relationship with the potter. In your heart, you know today is your day to start a relationship with God. And maybe today you're not ready for that step, but I want to encourage you to keep on that journey. Keep asking questions, keep searching, keep talking to God. He won't give up on you. He'll always be there. But for the rest of us, I want to create an atmosphere for living water to flow. You know, so much of the clay depends on water. Not only is water required for the shaping and the molding, even when the shape has taken form, it's designed to be filled with water. And I feel like for some of us this morning, we need a fresh filling. We need a fresh filling again of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps the clay has become hard and dry or cracked. Perhaps this week you feel so empty because you've poured out so much that you just need to be filled all over again so you can pour out again. That's the amazing thing about the living water. It is an endless supply. And the more we pour out, the more He just fills up. The more we pour out, the more He just fills up. And as the band leads us in this song, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want a fresh filling, I'm going to invite you just to come out as we sing. We're going to have some leaders. We're going to pray for you. We're going to position ourselves, me included, to receive the water of God, to receive the living water of God.